It's Father Peter Mangum again from the Cathedral of St. John Berchmans in Shreveport, here with Dr. Cheryl White of LSU in Shreveport, as we bring you another episode of Who is the Man of the Shroud? One of the most unusual aspects of the Shroud of Turin is the fact that it is still the most studied object in all of human history, yet we still don't have all the answers. It's what keeps us coming back here, week after week, and we hope you'll continue to join us on this journey for the mind, and yes, the heart. This week marks our 20th episode of this podcast series, and it seems we've only scratched the surface of what there is to be known. By now, our regular listeners know that whatever one believes this cloth to be, we cannot deny that it challenges us in ways that no other human artifact or relic does. It continues to provoke questions from its profound mysteries. We want to take a look again at an aspect of history that might correlate with the Shroud of Turin by reaching back into the early Christian era. There are early references to an icon or an image noted in several Christian sources by the Greek term akeropoita. This literally means not made by human hands, a miraculous image of some kind. What is the context for these references, and what object might they mean?
This is something that has truly always interested me. One of the many challenges in studying the Shroud's history is the lack of consistent terminology. By that I mean, obviously, early Christian records from the 4th or 5th century are not going to use the term Shroud of Turin to describe a relic that someone has seen. Father Peter, I think you and I are more sharply aware of the importance of these descriptive words now that we've had the opportunity to examine some 12th and 13th century church records. What we would call a burial shroud may have been grouped collectively with other relics of the Passion with no identifying name we would recognize. So this is both interesting and frustrating because it shows us just how much words matter and how in many ways we are so limited by them. For instance, in accounts of Christian pilgrims and church historians that date to the earliest centuries, we do find references to a miraculous image of Christ that was being venerated. The fact that the exact term burial shroud does not appear in those accounts has led many, even noted scholars, to refute the shroud's existence before the 14th century. This seems problematic to me, mostly because it greatly reduces our understanding of history to words that we would use and understand, not recognizing that there are very different cultural contexts for what might be the very same object. This ties the hands of the historian and really places unnecessary limitations on our ability to find the truth.
That's exactly right, and really important to remember. In one of our earlier podcasts dealing with what became of the Shroud after the Apostolic Age, you might recall that the most logical, safe place for such a holy object in the first century was Antioch. One of the four original great apostolic sees, Antioch was the only one of those by the year 70 AD that would have been stable enough to store sacred relics. By the year 540, it is believed that Patriarch Ephraimius left Antioch and took with him to Cilicia a much treasured and revered object. By the year 554, we have record that a community of priests in Cilicia and Cappadocia displayed an image of Jesus that was called akeropoita, not made by human hands. In 574, just 20 years later, this image was taken by the Byzantine emperor to Constantinople and became known by the name Image of the God Incarnate. Interestingly, we have a record from a Byzantine historian of the 7th century that this image was used as the model for Christ that was placed on military standards as protection, but only the likeness of the face and upper torso. Unfortunately, we do not have any of these military standards that have survived for comparison, but the historical record is clear that an image of Jesus was used to design them.
There's another interesting record from the late 6th century involving the term akeropoita. In 590, the word appears in a record by church historian Scholasticus. You've heard us mention him before. Scholasticus refers to an image in Edessa by the same name used in Cappadocia, not made by human hands. By tradition, this has of course been linked to the cure of King Apgar in Edessa by the bringing of an image-bearing cloth to that city in the first century by the Apostle Jude. From this point forward, the term akeropoita was known throughout the Byzantine world and indeed in Western Europe as being a sacred relic with a miraculous image of Jesus Christ. So, what object do these records describe, and why has this term disappeared from the historical record? There has been much debate about this. Some even challenge the veracity of Scholasticus as a source at all. Others argue that the akeropoita had to be something other than a cloth, or the record would have been clearer. Still, amidst all the protest, we are still left with the question of logic. Why did these ancient sources describe this image of Christ as something not made by human hands? Certainly, what is described was not known to be an artwork. We know that at the beginning of the 8th century, a specific building in Edessa housed the akeropoita. But again, we do not know exactly what it was. Again, this just speaks to the limits of history when we are in so many ways bound by words in the written record.
We have to keep seeking. Who knows what future finds might do to help shed more light on these ancient records, or how we might still advance our understanding of the Shroud's historical journey. The term akeropoita has specific meaning, and something that was indeed the object of such veneration, and obviously such distinction, would not have disappeared from Christendom without explanation. There is always so much more to learn. If you're interested in learning more about this topic, we highly recommend the website of Barry Schwartz, Shroud.com, which is the world's largest site dedicated to all aspects of Shroud study, including what we've talked about today. We also, of course, give great credit to the critical summary published by Dr. John Jackson for the American Confraternity of the Holy Shroud. Please come back and join us next week as Dr. White and I take on early Christian traditions that might make reference to or even directly involve the burial cloth of Jesus. Until then, catch any podcast you might have missed on iTunes, and remember, we welcome your feedback. Today is June 29th. It's the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. I can imagine in one of the many discussions Peter had with Paul that Peter tells Paul all about the burial cloths he and John found in the empty tomb and about this faint image on it, clearly not made by human hands. Maybe he brought them to Paul to see and venerate. These princes of the apostles, these pillars of the church, what they would tell us today. I conclude this podcast with part of the collect of the Mass for this day, a prayer for us all. O God, who on the solemnity of the Apostles Peter and Paul give us the noble and holy joy of this day, grant, we pray, that your Church may in all things follow the teaching of those through whom she received the beginnings of right religion. Amen. Until next week, thank you for joining us for Who is the Man of the Shroud?